Are you ready for the word?
Yes.
I've got a really, really important word for you today. So we're going to get into this right now. I've given the title of this word, Calling Things That Are Not As Though They Are. And so this is the next level in your growth. So what I've been doing over this last month, the month of May, is actually talking about spiritual growth and how to grow from one level to another level. And for those who've been here, you'll remember the different steps that we've been going through in our spiritual growth. So today we're going to discover what it is to take the next step. And we've tried for years to make the things of God very complicated in church. We've tried to make them out of the reach and only available to the selected few. But I want to make this available to each and every person and how to grow in this area. I believe it's available for everyone who believes. And we've been speaking on this law of growth, and this is really the next step in the law of growth. So come with me to a scripture here, which is 1 Corinthians and chapter 1. And I encourage you to get your Bible out, because this is a passage that you should underline. So you should underline this. So it's 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26 through 28. And it says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, and not many mighty, and not many noble are called." So what it's saying there, you're called not according to your position in your life right now. It's not because you're noble. It's not because you're beautiful. It's not because of anything that's to do with the flesh that you're called. It's because you're called by the Spirit. Which is great. Because hands up if you have you're a descendant of some noble person. Oh, no, either am I. In fact, if I go back into my history, it's not that good in the flesh. So this counts me in, and it counts you in as well. And verse 27, "But God has chosen," I want you to listen to this, "God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise." So if you felt maybe a little foolish at times, then put your hand up. God has chosen that to confound the wise. He's chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. So if you felt weak at times, God chooses weakness. He chooses that to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. So God has chosen this method. I want you to understand, this is the method that God has chosen. He could have chosen any method. He could have chosen a method that was a feel-good method. He could have said, if it feels good, let's do it. And that could have been the method he chose, to based on your feelings. But if it was based on the feelings, then that first part of the scripture wouldn't be true. Because there's no glory, there'd be nothing in the flesh that you could say, well, I feel great about that. No, we chose something different. Some don't like the scripture in the Bible, even though they've read it many times. But God has chosen this method of calling things that are not manifest, or things you cannot see manifest in the natural. He's chosen things you can't see in the natural. That's his method. To bring to nothing the things that are, or nothing here means zero. So he's saying, I'm choosing something you can't see to zero out what you can see. Cancel. Change. Completely. Reduce to nothing the things that you can see. So God chose to use things that are not manifest in the natural realm. He chose things that are in the invisible realm, or the spiritual things that you cannot see, to bring to nothing the things that's manifest. He chose this method to reduce to nothing, and all it is, you've got to come in agreement with the Word of God. If you have a problem and you can see it in the natural realm, I've got good news. There's something in the spiritual realm that will change it. The things in the natural realm are subject to change. Things in the spiritual realm are never subject to change. So the things in the natural is always subject to change. If you can see a problem, it's time to rejoice, because it's a subject to change. It doesn't matter how big that problem is. It doesn't matter how big the situation is. It is subject to change. So God has chosen things which defy natural logic to operate in the supernatural realm. I want to summarize the thing that God has chosen. So this is what you should understand. This is what God has chosen. He's chosen foolish things. He's chosen weak things. He's chosen things which are base things of the world, or the lower things in the world, that means. Things which are despised by natural people, and things which are not, he's chosen. So he's chosen something that does not exist in the natural realm. So that's his method. To bring to nothing the things that are, or to change that to a different state. That's the method he's chosen. So that's just the foundation of what we're talking about today. These are the things that God has chosen. If you get into your mindset today, this is what God has chosen. This is his method. It's God's method. So if it's God's method, we need to understand what God's method's about. So we have to be of the same spirit. So in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13, we read it this way. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. Actually, it's worth underlining that. I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And I want us to focus on verse 18. While we do not look at things which are seen, but things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I'll read that again. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. What is that telling me? It's telling me whatever you can see, we're not to look at. Now, it's not saying that go around with the eyes closed. What it's saying is don't focus your attention and your faith according to what you can see. If you can see the problem, that's not what you're looking at. You need to look at the unseen realm, because the unseen realm will change everything you can see in the natural. And that's why the scripture talks about if you can say to this mountain, if you can see the mountain, it's subject to change. Even though it's so huge and so massive, like a mountain, it is subject to change because you can see it in the natural. So the unseen realm is what I call the power realm. That's where the power resides, in the unseen realm. The unseen realm is governed by God's eternal principles. And this is the principle that God has ordained before the foundation of the earth. He chose this method or principle of calling things that are not as though they are before the foundation of the earth. Before there was anything on the earth, this is the method that God chose. He chose this method to create everything. And so Romans 4 and verse 17 says this. It says, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, talking about Abram. This is talking about Abram here. I've made you the father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed. It says, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. So this is the way that God operates. He looks at something that exists and he says, I calls it as though it does not exist. He calls something that doesn't exist as though it does. He goes to something that doesn't exist and he says, speaks it out that it actually exists. And in the natural, it does not exist. It does not exist in the natural realm, but God calls it as though it does exist. That's his method. He calls it. So if he turned up today and he said to us, today is Wednesday, we'd look at each other, what are we doing here today? We should be at work. It's Sunday, but if he called it Wednesday, it would be Wednesday. That's how God operates. He operates when he calls things, and we could say, black and blue, it's Sunday today, but if he called it Wednesday, it's going to be Wednesday. That's how he operates. He changes something that exists in the natural by the supernatural means. And we're going to take this further, and you're going to get an understanding of how to operate in this realm and this level. So this word calls, and you see up there, there's a word called calls, and that comes from the Greek word, which is Kaleo, which is spelled K-A-L-E-O. And it's to call properly aloud. It's actually a shout. It's proclaiming something aloud. That's what it is. And that's what God does. He speaks it aloud. And that's what that means. And we get that from, if we go back to Genesis and chapter 1 and verse 1, you can see how God operated this way. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So you get this picture that the earth was there without form or void, and there was darkness everywhere. And the Holy Spirit was hovering. So the presence of the Holy Spirit, He's omnipresent, He is everywhere. The Spirit was hovering. But nothing was happening. The Holy Spirit is here right now. But you say nothing is happening. The Holy Spirit's presence was there in the beginning, but nothing was happening. It was ready, waiting on one thing. And then verse 3, and God said, let there be light. Or the correct translation should be, God said, light be. That's what He declared. He didn't call the thing that was there, which was darkness. Most of us would have got out there and said, it is so dark. That would have been our confession. We would have called what we saw. But what did God do? He called for what He desired. So He stood out and He called, light be. And that was His method. What happened? The Holy Spirit responded to that. The Holy Spirit can only operate when the Word of God goes forth. I want you to listen to that. The Holy Spirit will only respond when the Word of God is declared or spoken out. He's ready and preparing to perform the Word. But He will only respond to the Word. So the Holy Spirit could only respond when God said, light be. And then He goes to action. And it says, and there was light. When the Word was spoken, light be, there was light. It was taken out of the invisible realm and made manifest in the natural realm to change or nullify what was there, which was darkness. And that's God's method. And God saw the light and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness and He called. Won't you hear that again? He called, proclaimed aloud, the light day. And He said, day was what He called it. And the darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning are the first day. So the word said in verse 3 there is translated from the Greek word, which is orma, or A-M-A-R. And it's pronounced A-W-M-A-R, which is used with great latitude for to bid or call or give a command. That's what the word said means. To bid, to call, or give a command. So when God said, He gave a command. And in verse 5, the word called is translated from another Greek word, which is gara, and actually pronounced with a K. So it's interesting, which means that are bidden, call for, or give a name. So it's all about speaking out and declaring and calling and naming something that you want. That's God's method. Moving on to the next thing. So I said here as a title for point 2, don't call things that are not as though they were not. So don't call things that are not as though they were not. There's a great difference between calling things which are not as though they were and calling things that are not as though they were not. See, God's method is to call things that are not. By doing that, He nullifies that what is or nullifies the problem that exists. If the problem exists, you don't go around denying that the problem exists. That's not what God's method's about. God did not go around and say there's no darkness out here. No. He wrote darkness was on the face of the deep. And where a lot of people get mixed up with calling things, they go denying the existence of that thing that is there. So God did not once deny the existence of darkness, but he called for what he wanted in that situation. See, if you're sick, don't go around denying that you're sick. You know, a lot of people thought, well, you know, I'm just going to say I'm not sick. You know, I've got this this problem of emphysema, and you know, well, I'm just going to say I don't have emphysema. I don't have emphysema. I don't have emphysema. But you may get cancer. So denying the existence of emphysema in your body is not the answer. So just denying that it doesn't exist is not the answer. It's not God's method. See, God called for what he wanted. So what do you need if you're sick? I need healing. So you call for healing, or call yourself healed or whole. That's what you want. Some who misunderstand this message, they think when they're sick, they should say, I'm not sick. But that's not the answer. See, there's a difference between a lie and a confession. And I don't want to get you into a place where you're lying about your situation. It's not God's way. See, confession is God's method of calling things that are not as though they were. If I'm sick, I will confess I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm delivered from the authority of darkness. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. I'm calling my body well. I'm calling my body healthy in the name of Jesus. See, I'm calling my body well. I'm calling my body whole. Now, if you hear me calling my body well, my body whole, you can pretty well know that I'm suffering with some sort of sickness, because that's the only reason I'm calling. There's no point to call for what I've got. If I'm whole and well, why would I call for that? Because it's there. It's manifest already. And it's not a mountain to me. It's not a problem. That's where I'm enjoying divine wholeness and divine health. But if there's sickness on my body, then I'm calling for what is not manifest. I'm calling for that in my life. So I will go around calling for what I want. There's no point calling for what's already there. See, I'm not denying sickness. I'm not lying about the fact that I'm sick. I'm just declaring what God has said over my life. What he's made available for me. And he's made available for everyone healing and wholeness and completeness. So simply what I'm doing, I'm going to the Word of God, I'm getting what he's declared over my life, and I'm calling that in over my situation. I'm calling that over my mountain. And the mountain may be sickness. It may be heart problem. It may be all sorts of things, but I'm calling myself whole according to what Jesus has already paid for by his stripes. He's paid for it in full, and I'm just calling that in. And the Holy Spirit is hovering over me. He's hovering over you, waiting for you to declare the Word of God. But so many people will go around rehearsing and calling the thing that is, calling and naming sickness. I'm so sick. I'm so tired. And they're calling for what exists in their life right now. So there's no change. There's no change. See, this is God's method. You might be thinking this morning, I can't go around calling for things that do not exist. That would be lying. I can't go around saying, I'm healed. It's a lie, Michael. It's a lie. But I'd say to you in response to that, you do that in most areas of your life right now, except in supernatural areas. Most people in their life call things that do not exist without even knowing it, except when it comes to supernatural areas. When it comes to spiritual areas, everyone goes back to the natural. For example, maybe later on this afternoon you go home from church and you realize that it's been such a busy, rainy couple of days that you have neglected the dog and you haven't fed the dog. And you think, oh, I better feed that dog. And so you go at the back and you start calling out for the dog. You think, where is that dog? I wonder where that dog's gone. I can't see that dog anywhere. And you think, well, hang on, I've got to call things, and this is why I do it. I call things as they are. I'm a very plain sort of guy, so I just call things as I see them. And so you walk around and think, I can't see that dog anywhere. And right next to you, you've got Felix, your little cat, who's coming around you, and you say, I can see the cat there, but where is that dog? Where's Fido? I don't know where he is. So if you call things as though they are, you start calling out, hey, Felix! Here, Felix! I wonder why that dog's not coming. And you keep calling out for the thing that you can see right there, which is Felix, but you really want the thing you can't see, which is Fido. And so you deny, you say, no, I can't call for what I can't see. I can only call what I can see right now in front of me, and I can only see the cat. And so you keep calling out, Felix, here, Felix, and Fido is nowhere to be seen. In fact, the only other thing that happens is the next door neighbor's cat comes as well. And I might say to you, why are you calling the cat? The cat's right next to you. Well, I've got to call things that I can see. I can't lie about this. I can't call for what I can't see. I can't call for the dog because I can't see him. I can only call for what I can see in my life right now. And I say, why are you calling for Felix? And you say, I wish that Fido was here. He must be starving by now. So you don't understand. You are calling for what is already manifest in your life. So there's going to be no change. If you keep calling what's manifest in your life, there's going to be zero change. You want the dog, you're calling for Felix, the cat, and the cat is there. But you keep calling, and you keep calling because you can see that cat. You can't see the dog, so you refuse to call the dog. But that's what you want, and how foolish that would be. How foolish does that sound? That someone would do that, but the whole body of Christ nearly is doing the same thing as spiritual areas. They're calling for the sickness. They're calling for the debt. They're calling for the things they have, they can see in their life right now, and they refuse to call for what they really want. And I could say to you, why are you so silly and so foolish doing that when God's method is to call for things that do not exist? I can't lie about that, Michael. I really can't call myself well when I'm sick. I can't call abundance when I have lack in my life. But you do that in every natural area. You also then you decide to, the dog's not there, so you're going to go inside. And it's pretty cold in the house. In fact, you look on the thermometer and it's 14 degrees. And you think, wouldn't it be nice if it was 23 or 24 degrees in the house? Wouldn't that be nice? So you go to the air conditioning panel and you look at the gauge there and you say, I'm going to turn that thermostat and dial in 14 degrees. I want 23, but I've got to call it like it is. So I'm going to call for 14 degrees because that's what it is right now. And so you dial in 14 degrees and there is zero change. There's no change. You're going to be cold all afternoon because you've called for exactly what you have right now, not what you wanted. Yeah. So you wouldn't do that in the natural. That would be so foolish. In the natural, you'd walk up and you'd say, I want 23 degrees. I'll dial in 23 degrees. And the unit responds and the room heats up to what you called for. That's what you do in the natural. But we defy to do that in spiritual areas. In spiritual areas, if you're sick and you say, no, I'm healed, that's dialing the knob. That's calling for what you want, not what you see right now. What you're seeing is 14 degrees in your body. What you're seeing is 14 degrees in your bank account. So why are you calling for what you have right now? You should call for what you do not have right now. That's God's method. This is God's method. Now, we've given you a little training this morning. So you've got a bit of training under your belt about calling things. And so you think, okay, I'm going to apply this to my life. And so you actually heard somebody testify that they recently sold their car miraculously. And they're now going to step up and buy a better car because they got such a good price for their car. And the person who said it, they said, I started confessing this, that I was getting this new car. And so you think, all right, I know what to do. I'm going to confess that I don't have a car because I want that sold. So you go around saying, I don't have a car. I don't have a car. And someone says, hey, have you sold your car yet? I don't have a car. Don't even own a car. So you're confessing something about this car. And what happens one day? You wake up and the car's stolen. Because you've been confessing, I don't have a car. I don't ever own a car. So that's the wrong method. That's not the right method to do. So we have to understand, we've got to be very careful about what we call for. So what we should have called for is a faith confession like this. Car, in the name of Jesus, I call you sold. See, what you really want, you wanted that car sold. I call you sold. Somebody likes the paintwork you've got. Somebody likes the sound of your motor. Somebody likes the wheels that are on that car. So I call you sold. There's a buyer that's coming right now for that car. So you're calling for what you want, because when that car is sold, then you have what you want to go and buy the next thing. You've got to understand that confession is very important. You have to call for what you want. Call for what you want. Next point, I'm saying don't act like the devil. Some people will say, you're just trying to act like God. I appreciate that. And I always say, thank you very much, because that's what I'm trying to do. I am actually trying to act like God, where most people are acting like the devil and calling for what is. Because that's what Satan will come to you. He'll tell you every time. He'll remind you of all your issues, of all your problems, of all the debt, of all the situations in life. He's going to remind you. And so when you rehearse that, you're acting like the devil. You're saying, I can't afford that. I never get ahead in life. Nobody likes me. What's happening? We're just hearing what the Satan is saying to us, and we're acting like him, where God's method is not that. God does not use that method at all like the devil uses. He does not use that method. See, to act like God, we have to speak his word and say the same things that he says. In other words, calling for those things which are not as though they are. So, and on the other hand, don't go around acting like the devil. If you're always quoting what the devil said and you're agreeing with the devil, because he's going to tell you all the time your weaknesses. He's going to remind you of your flesh. He's going to remind you of how low you are and how insignificant you are. That's what he's going to do all the time. And if he can keep the body of Christ incapacitated in this area, it will never grow to the next level. It will never grow. He will tell you that you're never going to get out of debt. You'll say it's impossible in this economy. Well, it may look like on the surface, but don't quote the devil, because he's a liar. Never quote the devil, he's a liar. He's going to speak lies to you day in and day out, so you believe the lie. Even when there is no hope, don't confess there's no hope. Just go to God's word and get some hope. If you're lacking hope, just go and get some hope. That's in the Word of God. The Word of God is full of hope. And when it comes fully realized, it becomes faith to do the impossible. So Abraham acted as God acted. When there was no hope, Abraham believed in hope. That's what the Word tells us. He believed in hope. And he actually called things that as though they were. He called those things that were not as though they were. You know, up to the age of 99 years of age, Abram, this is prior to Genesis 17, if you're looking to look at that later on. So prior to Genesis 17, Abram believed God's word about being the father of nations. He believed God's word. He believed that he would be the father of nations. But he had no son with his wife Sarah. He believed God. He was fully persuaded that this was going to happen, but this was the age of 99 and there was still no promised child. So something was missing. So we see now in Genesis 17, we see that God visited Abram and changed his name and his wife's name. So it says here in chapter 17, verse 1, and Abraham was 99 years old. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. And verse 2, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but it shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And then to verse 15. And then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall no longer call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I'll bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I'll bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall come from her. And Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abram said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. So Abraham believed that he'd be the father of nations, but he did not believe at that point that it could happen. He thought, and he was still trying to work out how to help God. So he put up his son, Ishmael, that was by his wife's handmaid. That was their method to try and work out the promise of God. Let's try and do this ourselves. So still at that age, at 99, he still put Ishmael up as the way forward for God. But we know that wasn't God's plan. And so God almost tricked Abram, or now by calling him Abraham. He almost tricked him into understanding the law of confession. He tricked him here. And he said, I'm going to change your name. And so consider this. From that day forward, he changed his name. So he told his wife, here's your new name. And this is what it means. This is my name. This is what it means. He had probably over 300 staff. And he told them, my name from now on is no longer Abram, but is Abraham. It means father of nations. And this is my wife. Don't call her Sarai, but call her Sarah, because her name is mother of nations. So what did he start doing? He started calling for what did not exist. Because he was calling both of them by the new name of mother and father of nations. So for the next period of time, every time Sarah wanted to call him for dinner, she would call out, father of nations, dinner's ready. And he would respond, mother of nations, give me 5 minutes. I'm still fixing this up, like most men do. But it's going to burn, father of nations. So they were calling each other as though it existed and did not exist. You know, imagine the staff. Maybe a few of them had a chuckle and thought, you know, but I dare say that none of them laughed at him, because he was their boss. Their life existed because of the blessing that was on his life. So I'm sure they laughed with him, but not at him. But they started to call him Father of Nations, Father of Nations. So within 1 year of him declaring that and God speaking it, and him speaking it out into that atmosphere, calling it, the Holy Spirit was hovering and performed that miracle in their life. See, up to that point, you've got to realize that they could not get it by natural thinking. In fact, natural thinking was to get Ishmael and say, Lord, this is the way forward. Ishmael is the way. But no, God said, this is what I've chosen. What I've chosen to change the situation is to call it. This is the way I've chosen. So this is what I call the steps in the spiritual progress. So the steps in the spiritual progress, I mean, you can't get to base one unless there's salvation. Salvation is your doorway through Jesus Christ into the kingdom of God. So the first step has got to be salvation. And we've been talking about tithing. I can now tell you, tithing is one of your very next steps into spiritual things. Because don't think that you could ever move up those steps without doing the basis. Right? Because God said about tithing, He said, there's a curse working on you. So how can there be a blessing and a curse? So you can't go up that step until you complete the things that we spoke about over the last month. There's a steps that have been ordered by God in this spiritual area. So when we're talking about calling things, you can't do that until you're saved. You can't do that until you trust God, because trusting God is about tithing. That's one of the areas that God said, trust me now on this. If I will not rebuke the devourer on your behalf. But many people try and do this. They try, well, I'm saved. I'm just going to go up here, over that one, and try to go in calling things. But they can never do it. They fall down every time because they have not trusted God with the basics of finances. And that's so many people, they try to take two or three steps up into the things of God, but there's a steps that have been ordered correctly so you can grow, and there's a process in your life. And that's what it's about. So the basis of tithing is so important. It is so important. That's probably just a real good one to quickly turn to. So Malachi 3 in verse 8. It says, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. And verse 9, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. Now, I've heard a lot of people in the last month say, Michael, you're too hard in your teaching. How can you say we're cursed? I haven't said you're cursed. The Bible says you're cursed. This is not me saying it. It's the Bible saying it. Hang on, you don't like that one? I think we should just rip that page out. Oh, sorry about that, that's your Bible. But that's what a lot of people are saying. Let's get rid of these things. If we don't like something in the Bible, let's just rip it out and take a step over that one. Yeah, but rip it out. Let's rip it out of our Bibles. But you know, there's a curse on somebody who removes or adds to the Word of God. So if you don't want to take the whole Word of God in your life, no wonder this thing's missing. No wonder this thing's missing. And we can just say, no, that doesn't please. That's really, and a lot of people said, no, that's just, that's Old Testament. We don't need that anymore. No wonder there's a curse that's working on the body of Christ. It's because we're trying to take a step over what God says, that you're cursed with a curse because you've robbed Him. How can you start calling things when you're robbing God? It just won't work. It just won't work at all, because we're robbing God in areas. But I'm trying to help you, and what I'm trying to do today is to instruct you in the way forward to make a blessing come in your life in every area, so there's nothing missing and nothing broken. In your life. If you can get to a place where there's nothing missing and nothing broken, all sorts of things are going to happen in your life. And people are going to say to you, I know the job you have. Why are you blessed so much? What is the reason? Because it's not according to natural means. It's not according to your income level. It's according to your sowing. You know, we have to move up to the next level. We've got to move to these next levels in God. And it's almost like if we don't get tithing, we don't get loving others, we've got to get those things right before we get to this calling. There's steps of progress in our life that we have to get right. And we've got to do it. So that's why I'm teaching. That's why I'm using the word as a hammer. Because that's the only thing that changes our situation. You want you stepped up in this area of, and love is manifested in your life, then calling things that do not exist as though they are becomes the next step in your progress, and it's an easy step. See, if I take these steps one at a time, salvation, tithing, loving, then the next step's very easy. It's very easy. It's a step because it's been ordered by God to get you into the area of prosperity, but unless I've got those ones right, I'm going to fall down every time. I've got to get those bases right in my life. You know, we've been talking about The sower sows the word. And I've said that when it comes down to sowing, it's what you're sowing, what you're calling out will determine. So what I said, that you go into the loin belt of truth when there's a situation, and for those who didn't hear that message on the spiritual warfare, the loin belt of truth was where the truth of the word would go. So go to that loin belt and use that as a weapon every time for your situation. And you go and get some seed from the loin belt of truth. So if there is sickness on your body, you go to the loin belt of truth and you say, according to 1 Peter 2:24, by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed. And Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore I forbid any sickness of disease to come upon this body. Every disease, germ, and every virus that touches this body dies instantly in the name of Jesus. What have I done? I've gone to the loin belt of truth, and I've gone and I've got some seed, and as I've spoken that out, what have I done? I've declared, and I've sowed seed. What I've done, I've spoken out the word of God, and I've sowed seed into my life. That's what sowing seed's about. The sower sows the word. I've sowed the word out into my situation. And then I look in the situation, I say, and there's a lack in my life of finances. I look at my bank account, I look at that situation, there's a lack. So what, do I rehearse the lack? Do I get around saying, I'm sorry, but we can't do this, I can't afford to give today. I can't afford to. And I've heard people say, we can't afford to tithe because we've got bills. What are you doing? You're rehearsing what is right now. You're calling for the cat in your life. So what do? You've got to go to the word and you've got to declare, I am a tither. So a tither has a right to declare things. But if you're not a tither, you don't have a right to declare. As a tither, you do. As a tither, you say, according to Philippians 4:19, there is no lack, for God supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. According to Luke 6:38, I have given, it shall be given unto me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, men will give into my bosom. What have I done? I've gone into the loin belt of truth, I've taken seed, and I've sown it over the situation I can see. What I can see in the natural is subject to change if I use spiritual laws to change it. So I go on and get God's word, and I sow it out of my mouth, and it changes. Remember, the Holy Spirit is waiting to perform the words that we declare. So I have authority to do it. You have authority to do it if you do it based on God's word. God's word will not return void, but accomplish what he pleased. See, he's spoken his word out. Now we have to use that because it's been given to us to sow seeds. And what the word said, Mark's Gospel 4:14, which Jesus said, the sower sows the word. So your job, you should always have seed with you. That should be your whole life mission. Every time you go into the loin belt of truth, I'm saying, I'm going to sow over that situation. I'm sowing seed again here. I'm not looking at what I see, I'm looking at what I want, and I'm declaring. And these are not silent prayers. These are calling for what you want manifest in your life. If you've got a problem right now, financially or in your business, don't rehearse the situation. Don't keep coming around saying, gee, it's dark out there. There's no business. No one's buying things. No one's doing this. No, you're just rehearsing what you can see. You've got to get into a different realm and call for light be. Business come. Yeah. Job come. Yeah. What do you want in your life? That's what you've got to do. Why don't you stand up in there right now? You know, I've declared this today because this is absolutely the next level in the growth of you personally, the growth of this church. And I know that many people are going to rise up. And it won't be all. It won't be everyone that rises up because some people haven't taken those steps. But the ones who have taken the steps, the ones who are saved, the ones who have taken and said, Lord, I'm going to trust you financially. Because right now where I'm at, I don't have much, but I'm going to trust you with what you've given me so you can move up. You move up to a place where, Lord, I'm going to love people. Despite what happens, I'm going to love people. I'm going to forgive. I'm not going to hold things against people because without the love, I can't go to the next step of calling things, because if I've got something against somebody, then it's going to work against me. So I can't have that. As a church, we can't have things like that working against us, because when we have things against each other, then Satan has an inroad into our lives. So we've got to keep short accounts, forgive, love, so we can go to the next thing of calling in abundance. And I declare that this year that there's going to be abundance in many of your life, where people are going to say, and I'll prophesy this over you right now, that people are going to say, where have you got that from? How have you got this? Because they're going to see the change. And you say, they'll know it's a change by God, because they know what your job is. They know where you what you don't have. But it's not limited to what you have. It's limited only by what you say.